Good morning, everybody. This is the February 5th, 2021 Board of Adjustments meeting. I am Richard Siegel, the chair of the Board of Adjustments. To the public, our apologies for being a few minutes late, but we do have a full board now and a quorum, and we are ready to proceed. With that being said, thank you to my board for being here. We understand this continues to be extenuating circumstances, and we just say to everyone out there, just please stay healthy. Wear your masks and let's get through this pandemic. Without any further ado, let's go through the minutes from our prior meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from anyone on the board?
Goldberg will move it.
Thank you,
Second.
Mr. Goldberg. Thank you, Mrs. Malakoff. So Goldberg first, Mrs. Malakoff second, approval of the minutes. Mr. City Attorney, do we have any updates?
No, but I would like to read into the record the procedure for today's hybrid meeting.
Please proceed. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good morning, all. Today's meeting of the Board of Adjustment has been scheduled in a hybrid format, with a quorum of the board physically present and remaining board members, applicants, staff, and members of the public appearing virtually via Zoom. In order to participate in today's meeting, members of the public may dial 1-888-475-4499, which is toll-free, and enter the webinar ID, which is 852-9334 5366 pound, or log into the Zoom app and enter the webinar ID, which again is 852-9334 5366. Any individual wishing to speak on an item must click the raise hand icon if they are using the Zoom app, or dial star 9 if they are participating by phone. Individuals who do not have access to a computer and wish to provide testimony or submit evidence in support of or in opposition to an item scheduled to be heard may appear in person at the Miami Beach Convention Center, 1901 Convention Center Drive, Washington Avenue entrance, Art Deco Room 237, Miami Beach, Florida. At the location access, there will be computers for you to use. On quasi-judicial applications, on behalf of the chair, I'll swear in each presenter or member of the public wishing to speak. I'll also ask each board member to disclose the names of any individuals with whom they've had ex parte communications. I'll be keeping time at today's meeting. Applicants will have 10 minutes to present, and members of the public will have 3 minutes each. If you are appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you need to register as a lobbyist with the city's clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before you speak to the board. You don't have to register as a lobbyist if you're speaking only on behalf of yourself and not any other party, or if testifying as an expert witness, providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in this public meeting, or if you're appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance to express support or opposition to any item. Expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they are communicating. If you are an architect, attorney, or employee representing an applicant or an objector, you must register as a lobbyist. These rules apply whether you're appearing in favor, for, or against an item, encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. Lastly, before I turn the meeting over, back over to the chair, I'd like to swear in staff. Do you swear under oath that any and all testimony that you will give in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you, and I'll turn it back to the chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. City Attorney. And just to clarify, Mr. City Attorney, what we've been doing in the past as far as the Zoom meetings, instead of swearing in the entire public like we normally would do if everyone was present, we'll swear them in as each applicant is called. Is that okay with you, sir?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. Staff, on the remainder of the agenda, I see that there's no continuances or withdrawals, no need for extensions, no discussion items, progress reports, or modifications or continued items. Is that correct?
No, we actually have two discussion items. We have to elect the chair and a vice chair.
Okay, I'd like to table that if at all possible until after the applications and just proceed in accordance with what we've had at prior meetings.
That's fine.
Okay. So with that being said, let's go ahead and proceed with new applications. And staff, would you go ahead and call the first application, please?
This is file ZBA 20-0120, 1531 Alton Road. The applicant, SWC Miami Beach Botanicals LLC, has filed an application requesting a variance regarding distance separation for the relocation of an existing medical cannabis treatment center. The specific variance that is being requested is a variance to reduce by 850 feet the minimum distance separation of 1,200 feet between medical cannabis treatment centers to allow a medical cannabis treatment center to be relocated within 620 feet of an existing medical cannabis treatment center. So with this application, the applicant is a established medical cannabis treatment center that was given a BTR in 2018. There is a location that has an approved building permit, but is not operating at 1439 Alton Road. So the applicant is relocating within the same property to another storefront. So this storefront, it's still not in conformance with the 1200 distance separation, but staff is supportive of the application as the number of dispensaries within the area would not be increasing. So we feel that the request is still within the intent of the ordinance. And I believe the applicant has a presentation for the board.
Okay. So can we go ahead and swear in the applicant and allow the applicant in if they haven't already been brought in?
Mr. Chair? I'm not sure if this is time I do this, but I need to recuse myself from participating on this item because of a conflict. So I would ask if at this point I should leave the room.
Sure. So are there any other, thank you, Mr. Goldberg. Are there any other conflicts or any other disclosures that need to be made from the board?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Malikoff, please proceed.
Yes. I just wish to state on the record, I got a phone call from the property owner, Jimmy Resnick. I spoke to him briefly and told him I was not interested in meeting in person. I would go by the record and today's presentations.
Thank you for that disclosure, Ms. Malikoff. Besides Mrs. Malikoff and Mr. Goldberg, is there anyone else who has any disclosures or conflict on this matter?
Me as well. I got a call from Jimmy Resnick as well, but had a brief conversation and I told him that I would listen to the hearing and make my decision.
Okay, thank you. And I think Mr. Barron, you were trying to speak.
So I too got a phone call from Mr. Resnick, and I too told him I would decide on the merits of the matter.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, same for me.
Okay. Mr. Orlowski, anything from your end? Okay. And none from mine as well. So, Mr. Goldberg, to address your conflict, yes, please just go ahead and step off of the virtual dais so we can please proceed. Okay, Mr. Goldberg has stepped off. So with that being said, can someone please swear in the applicant or anyone doing presentations on their behalf?
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, this is Michael Larkin, so I'll be sworn in now.
Thank you, Michael. Welcome.
Thanks.
Mr. Larkin, do you swear under oath that all testimony that you'll give in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Larkin, the floor is yours. Please proceed.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. This is Michael Larkin, 200 South Biscayne Boulevard, with offices in downtown Miami. Here representing the applicant. With me from the applicant's team is Teresa Driscoll and Nick Monette. From my law firm, there's Nicholas Rodriguez. First up, we're pleased to have staff recommendation of approval. We accept all conditions of approval. We have one minor modification request with regard to condition of approval number 3. We also made a presentation to the relevant neighborhood association, the Flingo Park Neighborhood Association. They understood our request and are supportive. They adopted a resolution of no objection to our application. PJ, can you start up the PowerPoint presentation? Can you go to the next slide, please? So as you all can see, this property is located in the CD2 zoning district within one of the six designated subzones that permit medical marijuana dispensaries in our city. And as you can also see, the location is significantly buffered from West Avenue and Flamingo Park neighborhoods by existing commercial development in the CD1 district to the east of us and the Alton Road commercial corridor to the west. Certera is an existing fully licensed dispensing facility at 1523 Alton Road, seeking to move a few units to the north within the same building to 1531 Alton Road. Certera has vast experience in this industry as it has 39 stores around the state, two in Miami-Dade County, one here on the beach, and one in Dadeland Mall. Since opening in 2018, Certera has become a valuable member of the community by serving a large number of local patients and joining the Miami Beach Chamber of Commerce to see how they can more fully integrate into our business community. Their activities are somewhat constrained by the Department of Health, but that's one of the few things they can actually do is participate in community organizations like the Chamber of Commerce, and they intend to be very active in that organization. Certera seeks a modest expansion to improve its patient experience and be more adaptable to future public health events like what we are currently experiencing with regard to social distancing. They need a larger place to operate. The Department of Health has detailed regulations that regulate everything from the type of signage that dispensing facilities can use and the components that must be included in each dispensing facility. As a specific example, under state law, dispensing facilities are required to have certain elements, including a waiting area, a private consultation room, and a separated dispensing area. Although the current location provides all the required elements, the waiting area and dispensing area are crammed together. The waiting area has become insufficiently small, especially during the pandemic, and the consultation room is inadequate. Certera intends to move to this larger location to provide all required elements in a more efficient and pleasant patient experience by, for example, providing a privacy wall between the waiting area and dispensing areas and a larger, more comfortable consultation area. Next slide, please. As you can see, the CD2 district is among the most intense commercial districts in the city and permits a variety of commercial uses, including a recently approved entertainment establishment. They'll have three different restaurants at the Firestone building. We obtained that approval for Dave Grutman a few months ago. Certera has existed with a variety of uses in its current location, including a 24-hour bakery, a food service establishment, Chicken Kitchen, and a bank, Safra Bank. Certera has been a good neighbor, had no perceivable impact upon these existing businesses. Next slide. The reason that we are here before you today is because of an unusual situation caused by another dispensary that was able to obtain a permit before the spacing requirements came into effect. Certera was the very first dispensary to navigate the city's comprehensive licensing process in early 2018. The process requires a security plan, odor management plan, and a detailed business operations plan. As such, they entered the market on the conservative side with a very small location, just over 1,200 square feet, at its current location. Certera remains the only fully licensed active dispensing facility in Miami Beach. But soon after Certera opened, another dispensary obtained a building permit in December 2018 for a dispensary at 1439 Alton Road, but did not complete the licensing process. That dispensary has been under construction for 2 years with no sign of nearing completion. February of 2019, with Commissioner Malakoff moving this along, the commission became concerned about clustering dispensaries in these subzones where dispensaries can be located. The city adopted a 1,200-foot spacing requirement applicable to dispensaries and pharmacies. Unlike most other uses, the city interprets the spacing requirement such that it is triggered by an active building permit rather than by issuance of a BTR or CO. Because the proposed dispensary at 1439 Alton Road is located less than 1,200 feet from our existing dispensary, our dispensary became a legal nonconforming use with respect to this spacing requirement, even though it is the only dispensary actually operating in this area. So to meet the needs of its patients and be more adaptable to future events, again, like the one we're experiencing, Surterra seeks to move to a slightly larger location within the same building. Meanwhile, the proposed dispensary at 1439 Alton Road shows no signs of life or nearing completion. In fact, although not formally documented, we have learned that the owners of the proposed dispensary have abandoned the site and do not intend to open. Their building permit, for example, will expire on February 23rd, absent any inspection by the city. And they also emailed our landlord asking him for a partial refund for the parking spaces that they were paying for, indicating they intended to abandon the site. And if necessary, we can show you all that email toward the end of the presentation. Next slide. So we're seeking two requests. The first is, of course, approval of a variance from this spacing requirement permits Surterra to move to a newer, larger location, a few units to the north of the existing facility. Surterra was the first in time and remains the only establishment in Miami Beach licensed under both state and local law to dispense medical marijuana. The proposed dispensary 1439 Alton Road, on the other hand, has never obtained a license from the city and has generally not shown a real intent to open. It should be noted that at no time does Surterra intend to operate two dispensaries at the same time. Staff has proposed conditions that we fully agree to, which requires Surterra to provide abundant evidence that it has abandoned and vacated the existing use before the new location can receive its TCO or BTR. The second request is a modification of the proposed condition of approval number 3 in order to reconcile state and local regulations, and I'll explain that a little bit later. Next slide. So with regard to the hardship test, Surterra faces a unique circumstance where they are non-conforming with respect to spacing requirements, even though they were the first dispensing facility in Miami Beach and remain the only active dispensing facility. The fact that a second dispensary is able to vest its right pursuant to a building permit prior to the adoption of the spacing requirements is a unique circumstance applicable to this property. The timing of the building permit for the dispensary 1439 Alton Road and its subsequent inaction is not a result of any act by Surterra. Granting the variance does not confer upon Surterra any special privilege because they were the first dispensary established in Miami Beach and remain the only one in the city. If the variance are granted today, Surterra would still be the only licensed facility in the city. Interpreting spacing requirements causes a hardship in that it prevents Surterra from being able to move to a new location to which it would be entitled to move as of right were it not for the building permit at 1439, which, as I said to you all, is set to expire a couple of weeks from now. Had the spacing requirement been adopted 2 months sooner by the commission, Surterra would not be a nonconforming use and would not need to come before you all today to move. The variance is the minimum variance that allows the reasonable use of the property, as it only permits Surterra to move within the same building to a location that's slightly larger that otherwise be permitted to be used as a dispensing facility. Ultimately, we believe that the proposed dispensary at 1439 Alton Road will never open. Thus, granting the variance is consistent with the intent of the regulations to prevent a proliferation of dispensaries within these six subzones. Next slide, please. As you all can see from the site plan, the new location for Surterra will be to the north slightly, about 5,464 square feet in size, well below the maximum 7,500 permitted. The new location will allow more space for the various components required under state law, such as a larger waiting area, more privacy in the dispensing area, and a more spacious and private consultation room, which will lead to a generally more efficient and pleasant patient experience. There are no exterior changes to the existing buildings proposed by this application. Next slide, please. This is the distance survey we had to submit, and as noted in the staff recommendation, approval of this variance request actually decreases the degree of nonconformity by increasing the distance between Surterra and the proposed dispensary at 1439 Alton, although again, we have serious doubts about that dispensary ever opening. Next slide, please. And then one more, PJ. So with regard to the operations, Surterra really does represent the gold standard for dispensaries due to its wide range of experience across Florida and nationwide. In addition to meeting all state licensing standards, Surterra has tailored its operations to the requirement of Miami Beach, obtaining approval of a security plan from the police department, utilizing state-of-the-art technology to prevent noxious odors and improve patient experience and have a general positive impact on the city's local economy. Zerterra does not deliver its products right now. Although they experiment with delivery at other locations across the state, location Miami Beach does not deliver. Like most businesses during the pandemic, Zerterra has adjusted operations to encourage pre-orders and pickups to reduce the number of people in its stores at any one time. So while Zerterra might seem a little quiet and empty to outsiders, it is actually very busy. It's a very busy operation. So generally, state and local regulations require that Zerterra keep its operations quiet and understated. For instance, state regulations prohibit advertising of any kind, and the Department of Health interprets advertising very broadly to include almost anything that would attract attention to the dispensing facility. Further, the city on its own prohibits dispensing facilities from obtaining special event permits or providing entertainment, and we have done neither. Zerterra has done exactly what it's supposed to do in staying away from attracting attention to itself or its store. Zerterra has never been cited for a code violation by the city and enjoys a positive working relationship with its regulators, its neighbors, and landlord. Next slide, please.
Mr. Chair, we're at the 10-minute mark. Would you like to continue on? Or
Mr. Larkin, about how much longer do you need for your presentation?
Just 1 minute, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, let's give Mr. Larkin 2 more minutes. Thank you, Mr. City Attorney.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much. So in this last slide, I just wanted to go over the conditions. So under Department of Health regulations, dispensaries must screen their interior areas from view, as the department interprets visibility into the store to be advertising its contents. To comply with the regulation, remain consistent with city regulations that prohibit frosted or tinted glass, Zerterra proposes using shades or blinds. This is exactly the system Zerterra currently has in place for complying with both state and local regulations. We believe the proposed language reconciles the intent of the state regulations and the code, since the glass itself will be clear, but views inside the dispensary will be sufficiently disrupted to satisfy Department of Health standards. Mr. Chairman, that's all I have. I'm happy to answer any questions you all would have, and I'd like to reserve some time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Larkin. Do I have any questions from the board? And if so, just please go ahead and raise your hand virtually. I see Ms. Malikoff has her hand raised. Please proceed, Ms. Malikoff.
Yes, Mr. Larkin, how is medical marijuana still a cash-only business?
I think so, Commissioner Malikoff. I don't think they can accept credit cards now.
Okay. What precautions are being taken to protect that? What type of security? There were very specific regulations within the city about how that's to be done, and I just wanted to make sure that is being done.
Let me try to give you some details. I'm not going to try to gloss over the question. I know that our security plan was comprehensive, but either Mr. Chairman or PJ, would you be able to promote our Zerterra client, either Nick or Teresa, to answer Commissioner Malikoff's question? Is that a possibility?
Sure.
Sure.
Nick is on. Nicholas, you there? You can unmute yourself, Nicholas.
Yes, I am. Hey, thanks.
Wait, let's. I think we should swear him in now, Mr. City Attorney.
That would be correct.
Sure. Yes.
Sure. Do you swear under oath that all testimony that you're about to give in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Okay, please proceed in answering Ms. Malikoff's question.
Yeah, Ms. Malikoff. Hi, Nicholas Manette here. I'm the Vice President of Real Estate at Zerterra Wellness. And just to kind of clarify that point, we actually can take payments other than cash. And I believe we've been able to do that for some time. We use a system called CanPay. It's a kind of a fintech solution for companies like us. A lot of the other dispensing organizations around the state use it as well. So what that really means is you could pay with a debit card as well. So I'm not sure the ratio of payments between cash and card, but I imagine that this solution here significantly decreases the amount of cash needed on hand. I just want to clarify that. Thank you.
But is the cash kept securely in the steel safe and all of the I don't want to say all the details, but there were very specific details within the city's regulations.
Yes. Yeah. It's not only is it kept in, you know, compliant, secured area, but depending on volume of stores, we actually have regular pickups of cash from our location. So we don't have, we don't have a lot on hand.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And thank you.
This is to Mr. Larkin. You mentioned that you're increasing slightly the size of your facility, of the Sotera facility. And I would say that going from, what was it, 1,200 to 5,464 is more than slightly, but it is within the 7,500 allowed. So I have no problem with that.
I'm sorry, Commissioner Malkoff, I should have removed the word slightly. You're right. It is larger, that's for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have any other questions from the board? Mr. Williams, I see your hand raised. Is that intentional?
Yes. I just wanted to add, Mr. Malkoff, that the relocation will have to go through the full permitting process. So they will be required to submit new plans, a new security plan, which will be reviewed by the police department.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Having not seen any further questions from the board, do we have anyone from the public that wishes to speak on this matter? Staff, I assume we don't have anyone.
I have a question. It's really not for the applicant, but I'm curious to know how many dispensaries are currently pending to be opened in Miami Beach. Do we have sort of like a diagram of where they are? I understood he said that he's the only functioning dispensary at the time right now. How many more are being opened that are approved currently?
I believe there are 3 or 4 throughout the city that are under review in some stage of the process, but there are multiple districts within the city that allow the dispensaries. So within this district along the Alton Road, it's only this one that's active and the proposed one that has a building permit.
Are we talking about the one on 1439?
Correct. That one is not active. They have a building permit, so they're vetted. But if that building permit expires or the use is abandoned, any new dispensary would have to be 1,200 feet away from the relocated dispensary if that is approved today.
And there's no other pending dispensaries on Alton Road?
Not within this district. I believe there may be one closer to Fifth Street, which is a different district.
Got it. So how many districts are there on Alton Road?
There's two that touch Alton Road.
Got it. So just so I understand, let's call it South Beach for the first 30 blocks of the city of Miami Beach. How many pending dispensaries are there to be opened in all of from South Point Drive to 30th Street from the bay to the ocean?
Three.
So that's counting these current two?
Correct.
So the third one is the one on Fifth Street?
Correct.
Nothing yes. else? The one in Washington that we had a meeting on, I think that it was a conversation regarding the supermarket or Publix and the one that was closer to Washington Avenue. Did they finally close out or are they still?
I believe their permit has expired, I believe.
It's expired.
Yeah. Great. And the other application was denied by the board, so they're not counted in that list of three.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay, having not seen any additional questions from the board and having spoken with staff, and it appears despite receiving some comments from the general public via submissions that no one has appeared today to speak on behalf of the public, Mr. Larkin or your applicant and client, do you have any additional comments that you would like to make for your presentation? Otherwise, I will go ahead and seek a motion.
Just Mr. Chairman, if anyone that is going to make a motion could include our modification request. I think we vetted that with staff and they're okay with it. And that's my only request. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, Mr. Larkin. And just to be clear, and I will present it in that fashion, in the proposed final order presented by staff in subsection B3, it says storefronts shall not be obstructed and windows shall be transparent as you put forward in your presentation. You would like that to be modified to say that you will abide by that, but you will have, in addition to that, notwithstanding, shades or blinds to go ahead and be placed behind or inside the property of the transparent windows. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Staff has no objection to that.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Thank you, Mr. Larkin, for the clarification. Having heard from the applicant and his counsel, do I have a motion from the board? And I would recommend that the motion please include Mr. Larkin's revision to subsection B3 in the proposed order regarding storefronts shall not be obstructed and windows shall be transparent, in that the applicant is willing to agree to that condition, subject to and notwithstanding that they will have shades or blinds in the storefront windows. Do I have a motion?
Cement motion to approve, including applicant's change to B3.
Thank you, Mr. Cement. Do I have a second?
Second.
Who is that who made the second, please?
Barron.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Barron. Having received a first and a second, can I please have a call to vote?
Andre Sassion.
Yes.
Richard Barron.
Yes.
Yahil Cement?
Yes.
Michael Goldberg is recused. Joy Malakoff?
Yes.
James Orlowski?
Yes.
Richard Siegel?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Having approved by unanimous consent other than Mr. Goldberg, who has recused himself, thank you for the presentation, Mr. Larkin, and thank you to the applicant, and have a good day.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Thank you.
Mr. Williams, will you go ahead and call the second application for today, please?
This is file ZBA 2020-0121, 2440 North Shore Terrace. The applicant, Damaris Corso, has filed an application requesting a variance for the retention of a cheeky hut constructed in the rear of an existing one-story single-family home. Specifically, the applicant is requesting a variance to reduce by 6 feet 9 inches the minimum rear yard setback of 21 feet 6 inches to allow the retention of the cheeky hut with the rear setback of 14 feet 9 inches. So this cheeky hut was built by a member of the Seminole tribe, and the applicant has provided documentation to prove that. Cheeky huts built by Seminoles are exempt from building permit and from compliance with the Florida Building Code. However, they still must comply with the zoning. So what happened with this situation is I believe the applicant was cited by the building department for some electrical work that was also done in a cheeky hut. That citation brought the cheeky hut to our attention. That citation has been cleared. I believe that all the electrical work has been removed from the cheeky hut. But once we reviewed the survey, we saw that there was a encroachment into the rear yard setback. Under the circumstances, we are supporting the application with the conditions in the draft order. And I believe the applicant is here to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you very much. I'd just like to note that Mr. Goldberg is back on the virtual dais. With that being said, can we go ahead and, well, before we do that, do I have any disclosures or conflicts from the board? Having seen none, can we go ahead and bring in the applicant or the applicant's attorney and swear them in, please? Mr. Williams, do we have the applicant or the attorney present?
She is on the call.
I'm okay. Right here.
I'm on a Zoom hearing. Can I call you back?
Mr. Barron,
everything okay?
Mr. Barron, okay, great. So can we swear in the applicant, please?
Sure. I don't see the applicant, but
PJ, you may have to promote her. Her name is Damaris Corso. I think she just raised her hand.
Damaris's line is open. Damaris, you're live.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your time today.
Ms. Corso, I'm the deputy city attorney, and I'm going to swear you in before these proceedings start. Okay, so please raise your right hand, even though we can't see you. Do you swear under oath that any and all testimony that you will give in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Please proceed. The floor is yours.
Are you speaking to me, to Damaris?
Yes, please proceed, Damaris.
Oh, okay. Yes. Thank you so much. Yes. So I did hire the Native American company to build a tiki hut. I was unaware of the zoning restrictions. As most homeowners, we hire someone to do work, and we assume, of course, that they are doing it correctly. I have submitted signatures from my neighbors to the north, two neighbors to the south, my neighbors to the east, who all support keeping the tiki hut. I have submitted it to the city. And I just thank you all today for taking the time to hear me out. That's
great. Do you have anything else for your presentation today?
I do not. I have submitted everything that I have to Stephen. I don't know if he wants to share anything I've submitted.
Okay. We've seen what you've submitted, so thank you. With that being said, is there anyone from the board that has questions for the applicant? Mr. Osione, I see that your hand's raised. Was that from before, or you have a question for this applicant?
Sorry, that was from before.
Okay, Mr. Orlowski, please proceed.
Just, I guess, for staff, what should this process have looked like? The applicant should have come to city staff, and they would have required a variance. What would that process have looked like had it been done properly?
Okay, so when it's being built by a member of a Seminole tribe, they are exempt from the building code or a building permit. But the planning department does offer, we have our own permitting process. So they would have applied for a planning and zoning permit where we would have just looked at the setbacks, basically. And in this instance, it would have been denied at a staff level because we would have notified the applicant that the setbacks are not in compliance with the zoning code.
And if they had wanted to get a variance, they would have come before us or another city board, or?
Yes, they would have petitioned the Board of Adjustment for that variance if they wanted to request that variance.
So in that case, what would the argument be for hardship or requesting this variance? I understand now the variance is that, well, it's already been built, but if this had gone through the proper channels, what would the you know, the explanation for the need for the variance been?
So we review every application, based on what information is presented to us. I don't know if we would have supported the variance for this cheeky hut had it not been constructed already. I believe that's what you're asking.
I mean, so my understanding is we're basically, it didn't go through the proper channels, most likely wouldn't have gotten a variance had one been requested, but because it was built already, we're being asked to allow it to go forward.
So it's a little, I mean, that is correct, but also the circumstances with the cheeky huts is most people don't realize that you have to go to planning. It's a common issue in most South Florida cities. And usually they are caught after the cheeky hut is constructed. So, I mean, had it been in addition to the house, I mean, it would be different. I mean, everyone knows you need a building permit for construction. But when you're told that, you know, this item, the structure is exempt from permit, most people don't realize you need to go to planning. So the circumstances are a little bit different than a normal structure.
It also, the structure seems a little bit unusual to me too, that it's two stories tall and it was built with electrical service and things that, I mean, that would strike me as something that would, most people would assume you would need permits to bring electrical service into a new two-story structure with, you would think there would be some requirement from the city, not the, I think the assumption that, you know, most people wouldn't think that there would be some input from the city seems a little bit of a stretch to me, but.
I don't know if the Cheeky Hut was built with the electrical service or that was added later. The applicant can address that, but I believe that the violation from building has been cleared with that aspect because all the electrical service has been removed.
Just one last question. How did this come to the city's attention?
I'm not sure how it was brought to the attention of the building department, but they were issued a violation from building for the electrical work.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Malikoff, I see that your hand's raised. Please proceed.
Yes, I just wanted to ask Damaris Corso whether she agrees that she will not in the future add electrical to the Cheeky Hut, because it definitely is the danger.
Damaris, please yes. Respond to Ms. Malikoff.
Oh, yes, thank you. I'd just like to clear up the electrical was actually a fan. A fan was installed. The city was not called because of electrical. It appears that, I don't know, a neighbor who knows where, I don't know in what neighborhood or what area, called the city and complained that the Tiki Hut was built. And then this is how all of this came about. And I understand the gentleman's concern about going and to the city and applying for a permit. But as Stephen explained, they are exempt. And so that wasn't even something I would have thought of to do. So I just like to rectify that. It was simply a fan. The city was not called because of an electrical fan being installed. You know, I live on the water. I guess someone just called and said something about the Tiki Hut, and that's how this all came to light.
Yeah, but Damaris, I need to hear from you that you will not in the future try putting the fan back in electrical components.
Yes, of course. Yes, okay. Of course. I was not aware of that, but yes, I fully understand that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Goldberg, please proceed.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So maybe as a follow-up to Commissioner Malikoff, perhaps in the approval, there could be something stipulated in there that if there's any evidence in the future or complaints that there is electrical there, that this variance can be revoked. And that might be an option, maybe.
The board can add a condition to the order stating that no electrical service shall be supplied to the Cheeky Hut. Any violation of any of the conditions will require the application to come back to the board to make a decision at that time.
Okay. Thank you for the recommendation, Mr. Goldberg. Do I have any other questions from the board? Okay. Is there anyone in the public that is here to speak today? Do we see anyone in the public? Mr. Williams, do you know if there's anyone in the public?
No, I don't see anyone with a raised hand.
Okay, great. Thank you. So, again, in this particular application, we did receive certain written commentary from the public, but no one has appeared today to go ahead and speak on behalf of the public. With that being said, does the applicant have any further comments before I have the board go ahead and vote on this matter?
No, I do not.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion related to this matter? And I would recommend that if it is a motion to approve based off of Mrs. Malikoff and Mr. Goldberg's concerns that there's an added condition to the final order that says no electrical service should be supplied to the Cheeky Hut. Do I have a motion?
And so moves, except I would say additional electrical service added to the Chicky Hut, as there already is servicing the fan.
No, I believe it was removed, Mr. Barron.
The electrical service has been removed. The fan has been removed, and building has done a follow-up inspection on that.
With an additional condition in the motion that no electrical service be installed.
Kohlberg was second, right. Mr. Barron.
Okay, I have a first from Mr. Barron and a second from Mr. Goldberg. Can I have a call to vote, please?
Andres Estion?
Yes.
Richard Barron?
Yes.
Yahil Cement?
Yes.
Michael Goldberg?
Yes.
Joy Malikoff?
Yes.
James Orlowski?
I'm going to vote no.
Richard Siegel?
Yes.
The motion passes 6-1.
Okay, that completes our agenda as far as applications today. I know we did postpone. First off, let me tell the applicant your motion has been approved, subject to the condition of no electrical service being supplied into the Cheeky Hut. Please enjoy your property and your Cheeky Hut and have a wonderful day.
Thank you all very much. Have a beautiful weekend.
Our pleasure. Okay, with that being said, we do have discussion items. So, Mr. Williams, can you please take over?
So the first discussion item is an election of a chair. So this is the first meeting of 2021, so we need to elect the chair and the vice chair.
I nominate Richard Siegel for chair.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. I take Goldberg the nomination session. Humbly. Thank you, Mr. Goldberg. Mr. Williams, how do we proceed? Do we call it a vote on that?
If there is no other nominations, yes.
Okay. Is there any other nominations for chair?
You're doing an amazing job.
Thank you very much. I truly appreciate it. Having seen no other nominations, can we call it to vote, please, Mr. Williams?
Sure. Andres Acion?
Yes.
Richard Barron?
Enthusiastically, yes.
Yahil Cement?
Yes.
Michael Goldberg?
Yes.
Joy Malikoff?
Yes.
James Orlowski?
It's well deserved, yes.
And Richard Siegel?
Yes, and very much appreciate everyone on the board, and thank you for your continued faith in me in going ahead and chairing the board. I would like to let you know that I have been reappointed, but I do only have 1 year left. So even though it was a reappointment, this will be my last year, and I appreciate sharing it alongside of all of you.
Good.
The next discussion item is election of a vice chair. Are there any nominations?
I would go ahead and re-nominate Mr. Barron.
I cannot accept the nomination, and I'll explain to you privately in a little bit, but thank you, Mr. Siegel.
Okay, in that case, then I would go ahead and nominate Mr. Orlowski.
I'll second. Goldberg second.
Thank you.
Can we have a call to vote?
Yes.
Richard Barron?
No.
Yahil Cement?
Yes.
Michael Goldberg?
Yes.
Joy Malikoff?
Yes.
James Orlowski?
Yes.
And Richard Siegel?
Yes.
I would also like to note, though, I too will be termed out after the one year, so I guess we will need a new chairman and vice chairman at the end of this year.
Do we have any other discussion items for today?
No, that's it.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Barron. Okay, great. Thanks, Mr. Barron. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you all for your time and your continued dedication to this board. Mr. Orlowski, welcome upon as vice chair. It's been a pleasure to serve with you all the way up until today.
I appreciate it. It's the same goes to you. Thank you very much.
Okay. This concludes. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.